Well, it's been a while since I've spoken to my good mate Matt Noffs, whose grandfather Ted Noffs founded the Wayside Chapel in King's Cross, God, all those years ago, 1960s. Matt carries on his grandfather's legacy in the sense that he's in the business of helping people. He's at the coalface. When it comes to drug use and mental health issues, there's nothing this bloke doesn't know. He is extraordinarily compassionate, but his views are often frowned upon by the establishment. People who, I guess, are scared of change. People who think drugs are bad no matter what, and they are to be avoided and not tolerated. Well, Matt's out of the box on all of this. He believes in the regulation and decriminalisation of drugs, and we'll get to that in a minute. Today, I know that this morning he wants to talk about pill testing, a controversial issue. There was recently the Moving the Groove festival in Canberra where there was pill testing and no deaths.
Yeah.
There were overdoses, but there were no deaths. Or there were people treated for drug use, but no deaths. Yeah. We've seen six people die at other music festivals. There wouldn't be one person attempting to take an illicit substance at a music festival that hasn't heard of those six deaths. You cannot convince me otherwise. Everyone knows that possibly you could die from taking a pill. But that's not going to stop people taking pills. And just because they're bad for you or could be fatal, people are still going to take pills. This is where Matt and I often disagree. And I'm the first one to say, and Jess, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jess, but you're 28 years of age. You don't take pills, and I understand that. But you say there's nothing you can do to stop people from taking pills.
Yeah, and I don't think you have anything to lose with having drug testing. If anything, you've got all to gain. You might save a life, so why not?
Matt Noffs, good morning.
Sorry, mate. I think Jess should have your job. Is that all right? Can we swap that out? Can you do the producing and we get Jess? Can you step in to do this? And the other
Luke
thing too,
honestly doesn't even know how to take calls out here. Yeah. The whole thing would fail.
You asked me if I'd come in and do this at 1 a.m. All right. Now I'm looking at the playlist here. It was on one condition that you'd play Led Zeppelin. All right. It's not there. I'm going to start crying.
It will be there in a second. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
It will be there in a second. Of course, we're going to play Led Zeppelin. It's compulsory to have Led Zeppelin on my program. Can we get back to this?
There's one thing that you said before, which we're on the same page about. I am such a bloody straighty 180 that, I mean, yes, I love a beer when I get home from work. And if I've had a hard day at work, I might even have two or three. I'll probably have more than I should if it's been a difficult day. So we're going to talk about two things tonight or this morning. One is pill testing and the other one is ice and addiction and drug use. Because what happens, Luke, and you did it very innocently before, is we conflate those two things. We say addiction and drug use is the same thing. They're not the same thing. But most of us at some stage in our life will use drugs, illicit, but most certainly licit. So it might be alcohol, tobacco, whatever it is, Panadol. And a lot of people, a significant amount of people, will also use illicit drugs and are not bad people. But only some of those people, Luke, will actually come in to have a significant problem with them and become addicted to them. So before we start there, you went back to the idea that you disagree, that you think drugs are bad, and I should too. Well, of course, I've never tried ecstasy in my life, and helping all the way back to my grandparents, helping hundreds and thousands of people away from drugs. The last thing I'd want to do is say that drugs, illegal drugs, we're talking about, are just okay, are harmless, and I don't believe that for a second. So if we're thinking about pill testing, the whole reason why I push for pill testing in Australia, I just started talking about it. You and I started talking about it before a lot of other people when you were back on the other station. And it wasn't popular. But let's cut forward to 2019. That was probably 2013 we started talking. It was 2013, end of 2013, beginning of 2014. That was when we started talking about it. Georgina Barter had just died in New South Wales at a festival. We started talking about it then. Let's cut forward to now. Is it still controversial? Back then, no one even knew what pill testing was. 60% of Australians support the idea of pill testing. A majority of LNP voters support pill testing. 90% of Labor voters and I think 100% of the Greens vote. But as I said on Steve Price's show the other day, the Greens don't necessarily help here. A majority of your listeners tonight will actually want to see pill testing. And of course, there's also 40% of people who disagree with it. We should talk about that.
What do you say about the Premier of New South Wales, Gladys Berejiklian's argument that it could lure people into a false sense of security? You get a pill.
Yeah.
You go into the tent.
Yeah.
You get it tested.
Yeah.
They give it back to you and they say, it's MDMA. There's nothing else added to it.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Yeah.
And you still have a bad reaction to that pill and maybe die.
Yeah.
Even though it's been tested. Who's liable?
So, okay, you asked three really important questions in there, so we've got to dissect them. The first thing is no one is ever told that a drug is okay. Just off you go and enjoy MDMA. So to give you an example of the second pilot that happened in Canberra a couple of weeks ago, a majority of those people, so there were seven deadly substances found and all seven were discarded.
Mm-hmm.
A majority of people had MDMA. A lot of people had pure MDMA.
And they had their pills handed back to them.
Yes. The first thing...
In other words, they're told that's okay.
No.
Well, why is it handed back?
It's
an illegal substance.
Well,
why don't the police come
Luke,
in?
Luke, it's common sense. If you came
why
in with a
pill... Why don't the police
come
in and say, you have an illegal substance on you, you're under arrest?
Why don't they do that at the injection
center? Rooms.
Yeah. So let's go this. We're jumping back and forth, but it's good. Let's go to the injecting room. You brought up a really good example. So same thing. Like that, people said the same thing. You're going to say it's okay to use heroin? Are you kidding? Our kids are going to line up and be injecting. Our streets are going to be flooded. What happened since we started the injecting room? I'll tell you what happened. It was the first injecting room. That was a major thing.
One at King's Cross.
Pill testing has happened for a quarter of a century across Europe. A quarter of a century.
Really?
Yes. 25 years. We're
really?
The last cab off the rank. Right? So it's not... So in terms of evidence, there's so much evidence there. King's Cross was the first injecting room in the Western, in the English-speaking world.
Really?
Guess how many there are now? 100 and growing so bloody fast. Paris just started one.
There's one in Richmond in Victoria.
Victoria was one of the latest ones. That's right. But even, you know, Ireland is, I think, is going for one. You know, Paris. And I was in Germany a couple of years back where they've got 30 of these things. I met with the Department of Health. Why? Where'd you get the idea? You guys, they said. So what has happened to heroin in Australia since we started that? Do all of our kids line up? Did I line up? I was that generation. Did I line up to shoot heroin? No. We got the message loud and clear all over the country that needle syringe programs, methadone programs, that heroin was not a sexy drug anymore. It was in the 80s.
I'm not saying that an injecting room or pill testing is going to encourage people to take it. You're going to go to a pill testing room if you have the drug on you. You're going to go to a heroin injecting room if you're a heroin addict.
Yeah.
It's not going to start people taking heroin.
No.
I understand that. And I think that was one of the fears.
Yeah.
Oh, people will start taking heroin because it'll be seen to That's be right. condoned.
And you know what? We hit it on the head. So the easiest way to think about it is go to Bondi. Remember Bondi Beach in the 80s? You were scared to jump off the pylons as a kid because you were worried about a needle stick injury in the sand. But today, we can actually walk across Bondi Beach without that fear. Here's the funny thing about pill testing. No one is told that you've got a green light. No one's told that. What they're told is if they do have pure ecstasy, is that more ecstasy is not more fun. It's far more dangerous. So they're all told that, but they're not told that by someone like you or I. Look, they're told that by a doctor. And here's the evidence across Europe. There is no evidence to suggest that drug use goes up, that it gives people the green light, that they go and use more of it. Guess what? The evidence says quite the opposite. It says that certainly if they find that it is a deadly substance that could kill them in a second, that they bin it. But also those who do bring in potent ecstasy, if they get the right message, hopefully in Australia we'll always have a doctor in a tent. It should always be a doctor in the tent. they tend to walk away with a better understanding of the situations they're in, and that risky drug use is reduced. The opposite happens.
Who's going to pay for all this medical attention?
Well, I think
the promoters of the music festival, that'll end up a reflection in the cost of the ticket. The other thing, and I heard another social commentator say this. I'm just putting this to you.
No, yeah.
We all know, everyone knows the dangers of taking these pills. If someone takes a pill and dies of an overdose, put it down to suicide.
Yeah.
Just put it down to suicide.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah.
You knew the dangers. Yeah. You put a pill in your gob.
Yeah.
Tough luck.
Yeah. So I think the first one is going back to what you said, something just before you brought up that point. You said something before. Remind me what you said. You said, oh yeah, who's going to pay for it? Okay. So the pilots should be completely free for no government or taxpayer should pay for the pilots. I mean, we're finding out if this thing works. So Canberra has now, after two pilots, decided, yes, this has reduced harm without a shadow of a doubt. So Canberra government need to work out if they're going to pay for it. And how that will happen, and that's up to them. Our organisation, Ted Noss Foundation, will never be a provider of pill testing. So there's an organisation out there called Pill Testing Australia, which is made up of, at the moment, volunteer doctors and health workers and people who do an amazing job. Gina Van Buck has been on Triple M a whole lot of times, and I think that it's up to them how they work it out from here. In Queensland, I think Queensland will be the next place to take on pill testing. Again, they should take up the offer of a free pilot program and pilot it until they believe it's something that's worth doing. And then if there is a vote around it or however they want to do it, if they want to fund it, then the government should come in and do it. But no one should be paying for that in the beginning. That's that question. The second part is, and there is going to be a lot of listeners tonight who agree with that sentiment that you just said. If someone is going to be stupid enough in their eyes to go and take ecstasy and it does kill them, it's their fault because they understood the risk. I just don't share that because I just don't see it like that. I just don't want to see anyone die. I don't want to see a young person who's experimented. You and I experimented with illicit drugs when we were younger, and so did a lot of listeners. And I just don't think we deserved death, and neither do they. That's my thing. But I'm not going to be able to convince some people.
Matt Noffs is with me, the CEO of the Noffs Foundation. He works at the coalface with all of this. And what he's saying for a lot of people will be very confronting. I'd say to a lot of people, what Matt is saying makes common sense. We want to hear what you have to say. I promised you some Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, you got it?
You ready?
Let's do it.
Will this do?
No.
This is what you're getting, okay? Matt.
Thanks, mate.
You're welcome. Listeners, we'll get to you in just a moment. Those people on hold, don't go away. 133353, The Night Shift, Triple M. Played that for my guest, Matt Noffs, CEO of the Noffs Foundation. We're talking about drugs, pill testing. Last week, we talked a lot about ICE and the ICE pandemic that is sweeping this nation. And we're not talking about metropolitan areas. We're not talking about big cities. Country towns all over Australia are in the grips of this horrendous drug, ICE. And it doesn't seem that anything we're doing is working. It's getting worse. It's actually getting worse. I know Matt wants to talk about that. By the way, speaking of Led Zeppelin, you bastard, you've met Jimmy Page.
He was... I was like in my early 20s walking in London. I had this like weird thing. Imagine if I met Jimmy Page. I was walking down the road and he was there getting his dry cleaning with a mate, just hanging out with a mate. And I was with some friends and I said, let's go over and get a photo with him. And I walked over and said, oh, can we get a photo with you? And he went, why should I? I was like, because...
You're Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
And I'm in awe.
Yeah.
And I'm not worthy.
Yeah. Basically that. And yeah, we got a photo. I sent it to you this morning.
I know, you bastard.
So good. So good.
You want to take some calls?
Absolutely.
Matt Noffs is here. And we are not stacking this board at all. Jess is putting the calls up as they come through.
Fine.
So
agree, disagree, all good.
Agree, disagree. Let's see what happens, eh?
Yep. All right. Very good, very good.
Okay. G'day, Jack.
How are you, mate?
I'm very well. Say hello to Matt Noffs.
G'day, Jack.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Oh, it'd be a lot better if you weren't throwing around that spewing that left-wing propaganda.
All right, yeah, yeah,
go. I don't know where you get statistics from, bud, but there's 40% of people saying they don't like it. Well, mate, more fake news, left-wing propaganda there.
Well,
you've got to be kidding me. This is from a bloke who's taken more Jack and Jills than you and Lukey put together. I'm telling you, bud, they are no good.
Yeah, I've never taken a pill. The only pill I've ever taken is an aspirin and a Barocca. So, I've never taken a pill.
So you can go and find all the polling you want. Just go and look up polling pill testing and see what that is. Let's talk about your experience. So do you think you should have been arrested at all, or have been arrested, mate, and what if you died when you were younger? Would that have been fair or not?
Oh, absolutely, tragedy, mate. But put that aside, it's also a lot of I'm suffering a lot of health problems after it as well,
mate. Of course. And I guess that's why we think having a doctor in a tent telling young people that is better than police and just what we currently do. Because what we currently do is a big can of worms, brother. Well, actually, it's been going on for 25 years in Europe and they've reduced their issues with it there. And it's like with heroin here, hardly anyone uses heroin anymore in Australia.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big difference between heroin and the beautiful drug of pills, mate. Big, massive difference. You're not comparing an apple with an apple.
Okay, so tell me, what's the difference?
Well, mate, one's a downer and the other one's an upper.
Okay.
There.
So do you think so pills are worse than heroin?
Well, pills put you on a high, mate. The hammer will put you on your bum and just mong down. No one wants to go. The kids don't want to go near that. They want to dance and
they do in the US. Heroin's quadrupled in the US with the way they're doing it.
They come back here too, mate, but it's not with the beautiful people.
Not yet. No, we haven't seen that yet. We've seen ice. So I'd say that heroin's way worse. If we're going to compare apples and oranges, heroin is way worse. It certainly kills a lot more people than ecstasy. And the problem is it spreads disease as well, HIV, hepatitis. So, crime is actually really difficult. Crime was far worse under heroin. So I'd say pills, I probably would say that it's not a better drug. It's certainly not safer, but in comparing it, I would say heroin is a worse drug overall for all of us, not just for the people who use it. That would be my opinion. But don't listen to me. Family's only been doing it for 50 years or something.
Yeah, how are we going to do this? You guys are fine, what you're doing, but you guys aren't. Mate, got to stop. It's got to be across the board, no drugs.
You're saying complete prohibition. Prohibition doesn't work.
Yeah, so
I'd like prohibition. I'd like to see a drug-free world.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see that.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see that. But and I'm a fossil. Yeah. I know.
We're talking about that.
We're talking about that the government giving us the thumbs up to pill testing.
Never.
We're getting away from it, and they shouldn't do it, mate, because you've opened up a can of worms that you just can't put back in.
All right. Hey, listen, Jack, we've got a million calls here, and I'm going to try and get to most of them. So I appreciate you being first caller for Matt Knopf's.
Good
on you, Jack. Thanks very much. We'll keep going. We're off to Geelong. G'day, Dan.
G'day. How are you guys?
Good. Say hello to Matt.
Hey, Matt. How are you, mate?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Thank you very much. Yeah, I was ringing up. I agree with it 100%. I used to be in the rave scene in Melbourne years ago, so it was just, abundance of it everywhere and everything else, ice, GHB, everything. And I think that it's one of the best things they could possibly do. Like I watched a couple of mates like OD go to hospital, watched one die on ecstasy, a couple on GHB, and anything to try and stop that is, in my eyes, the greatest thing you can possibly do.
Oh, legend, mate. Thanks for that. I don't think there's anything to add to that, Luke.
Okay, we'll keep going. G'day, Matt. Matt and Matt.
Hey, Matt.
G'day. Hey, Matt. Matt. I'll just start off by saying I'm not into pills at all myself, but I think the way the world is going today, it's obviously a big part of the younger society in the world today, and I can't understand why people would be against something that may save a life, may save two lives, may save 10 lives. It's something that we can all go out there and support, I think, because people make bad choices. People make choices, you know, with people around them that have let them down paths that they maybe wouldn't have gone down if things were equal. But I think by giving the opportunity to have pills tested, it gives people maybe a chance to find out a little bit more. As you say, having doctors provide information, it you know, might save a life or two, and that's how can that be a bad thing?
Mate, I just don't know what to add to that either. You just said it. Having a doctor in a tent who says to a person, mate, you got here, you know, 99% pure ecstasy, and that is that can be incredibly toxic. And having a doctor sitting there, like, oh, it's a girl, it's a boy, you're this height or whatever, as we've heard in New South Wales, the Premier say, oh, you know, bodies are different. Well, I want a doctor to tell my kids that. I don't want a politician to, and that's the difference. And I want kids to be able to walk away with understanding the dangers. And you've just described it again, like the last caller, I think, better than I have tonight, to be honest, mate. Thank you.
Matt, thanks for your call. The ice scourge that is gripping Australia at the moment is getting worse. It's not getting better. And I wonder what the answer is, and how did we get to this stage? You deal with ice addicts on a day-to-day basis. Matt Knopfs, CEO of the Knopfs Foundation. What's going on here?
Look.
And we're talking about small country towns.
Yeah.
Not just the big cities.
It's a really difficult problem. But a couple of things have to be put into perspective here. You said before it's getting worse. It's actually not. It's actually getting better. It's getting far better than it was. And part of that is the response the government's taken. It's health working with law enforcement. And it's thinking about it in the same way that we thought about heroin. So we go back to what you said before, injecting rooms. The thing with heroin wasn't what they did in the US, where they've had a quadrupling of people dependent on opioids. And part of that is people being over-medicated in the US, which they are. It's just a weird thing. And people who've been there will see ads on TV. There's not only ads for opioids, there's ads for prescription drugs to help you deal with the effects of it, whether you're constipated or whatever. It's just a strange world. So they're really over-medicated there, and that's part of the issue. But a lot of people, middle-class people, and other people are moving towards heroin when they can't get their prescription filled with opioids. We haven't got that problem anymore in Australia. We certainly don't have that kind of heroin issue. Actually, that is partly not true. That we do have an issue with opioids here, but nowhere near the size of the US. Could it get worse here? That's a question to deal with at another time. Coming back to ICE. Our ICE issue, I think, is heading in the same way that heroin did in Australia. It's not getting worse. It's getting better. And it's getting better because we're working out how to treat people more humanely.
I get calls at this time of the morning from emergency department nurses and doctors who are telling me it's getting worse. That they're seeing people on ICE come in, having to be held with the strength of 10 men, assaulting them. They're telling me it's getting worse. That I'm just a conduit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think
they're telling me it's getting worse.
So one way to think to hold that up is when we experience when we were going through the heroin days. What's actually really interesting, there was far more crime back then, 10, 15 years ago, especially things like assaults and robbery and things like that, far worse with heroin than it was with ICE, which is hard for people to imagine, but it's just the case. The thing that with heroin, though, was it was difficult seeing bodies littered around the back alleys of King's Cross. You don't really see that. You don't see it at all today, really. People with needles in their arms and so on, and same with out in Cabramatta and those places. I'm just talking about New South Wales.
Just beware, we're a national radio program.
And I was just thinking, in Victoria, they've just got their first injecting centre in Richmond. And they're going to see those same benefits as well in terms of they have had people. And I went down there.
No one wants to live near one, though. That's the thing. You have what they call NIMBYs, not in my backyard.
Well, there's a lot of people who really, that local community also really supported the injecting room down
not
there.
Not the people that rang me. See?
It's hard. And so when you come back to ICE, we come back to the central part about ICE, you'll have people calling up. It is. whether you're an emergency doctor or a police officer who is bringing someone in who's coming off ice, and the kids that we, most of the kids that we see in our rehabs are coming off ice, it is horrific and tragic what it does to the brain, what it does to the spirit. You know, it's really horrific. So I don't want to take that away. And we've still got a problem and we still need to manage it. I'm saying let's get it into perspective. If you look at the stats, it's actually going down. I guess what I'd say, Luke, is just to make, just to, I guess the point I'm trying to make, and perhaps not very clearly, if I was going to do a better job, I'd say that the way to keep minimizing the impact of ice, to get to a place where we got with heroin to get with ice, is to not see it as a criminal issue, but to see it as a health issue.
Why is rehabilitation so hard to get into? And there are waiting lists. I know that you deal with a mob called Who's We Help Ourselves,
yeah,
and others and others.
Yeah.
But I had someone ring me the other morning, last week,
yeah,
who said that there was an 8-month waiting list.
Yeah.
Either that, or you've got to spend an absolute fortune, yeah, for a private facility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is rehab so hard to get in this country?
Well, I think part of it is there isn't a lot of there isn't enough funding for it. So the waiting list is really about saying that we need more centres. And there are misnomers about there about, oh, maybe private's better than the free ones that the government offer. Well, that's, I just don't think that's true. The things that the government offers, you know, are run by quite often hospital standards. But there isn't enough of them, Luke. I mean, quite simply, there just isn't enough. So the kind of investment that so you know how Shorten's coming in, he's going to invest $2.5 billion into cancer. You know, you'd need less than half of that investment to get to where you need to with drug and alcohol to really deal with the issue. But you are talking about $1 billion to do it. And it's those regional areas that are suffering as well. I mean, there's cities as well, but you're right. When you talk about that, there are people suffering. So I want to come back to that first point that I made. The ice issue is going down, but people are still suffering. It's hard to hold at the same time.
We'll take some more calls. That's what we're here for. Matt, g'day.
Here you go, mate.
Yes, go ahead.
Mate, I'm all for pill testing. That's coming from someone who, in their early days of the early 2000s, going to all the rave parties in Sydney. I've been there. I've seen people overdose. I've actually seen a girl overdosing at the DEF CON festival last year. And I definitely reckon with the pill testing that would definitely save lives, give people the option to get rid of the bad stuff. And yeah.
Legend, mate. I think, Luke, you've just lined up a whole lot of people with the same name as me, and I think everyone out there right now around the country is just thinking it's me putting on a different voice. But this is a very different Matt. This is a second Matt, a third Matt next to me. But I just want to say, Matt, again, I just feel like you articulated it better than I have tonight. It's the only thing I can say is it's 1:41 a.m. Yeah, where are you at the moment?
Oh, he's gone. He's phoning from Sydney. Rodney's online from Melbourne.
Okay.
Hey, Rodney.
Hello. Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Yes.
I want to bring three things up with you, Matt.
Yep.
First of all,
yep,
on a show, yep, tonight on Steve Price, which I know is the other network,
yep,
Rita Penny and Steve Price found out that there is near the St Kilda 7-Eleven,
yep,
there are people, yep, buying ice packs for $5 to $10.
Yeah.
When, yep, we have a drug centre, which is in Richmond.
Yeah.
Now, Matt, yeah, that's the first problem. Second problem, Matt, is people in Richmond didn't want this place to be built next door to them. So I don't know where you get the people love it, okay? The third thing is, Matt, and Luke, let me talk, please. The third thing is, Matt, drugs, if they want to take the drugs and do that, then let them do it and kill themselves. Because at the end of the day, I pay my taxes. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I've grown up in a bad family. None of us took drugs. None of us went to jail. How can you sit there and say the ice epidemic in Australia is getting better when I know every day with my job I do, I see more ice people on ice. I see it where I live. I think, Matt, you need to probably take off the rose glasses and grow up.
All right, done. Thanks. Will do.
That's all I've got to say to you.
Good.
I don't believe you. I think you're arrogant, and I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. Have a nice night, Luke.
Just said something. Just before you go, Rodney. What if it was your daughter or son that was going to take a pill at a festival?
Well, I wouldn't let them, first of all.
I mean, you can't... No. You wouldn't let them. People do what they want to do. In a perfect world, no one would take drugs. But there are people who take drugs whose parents won't let them. So I'll ask you again, hypothetically, what would you do if it was your son or daughter?
I first of all would explain to them, look, I say, look, if you take a drug, you might not come home. And your mum and dad, we brought you up the way we brought you up, because I have got a daughter, and we brought you up the way it is. Now, I said, well, look, you can try it, but for God's sake, don't do anything stupid. If you try it, then please tell me, in case I need the knife, I need to take you up the hospital. But for God's sake, don't do it, because at the end of the day, we've invested so much love into you and so much power and love into you that we don't want you to do it. But if she took it, then I would have to do with the consequences. But if she, here we go, if she died, then I would feel upset. But she made the choice to take the drug, to swallow it or inject it. So I can't do much about it when she's 6 foot under, Luke.
Okay.
Look, I think, you know, this just articulates a really important point. There are some people that we're just never going to convince, and I think that's okay. I think it comes down to how much people know about it. When they look at the evidence and when they've had that experience in their family, everything changes. But it doesn't change until then. Australians, who haven't had those experiences close to them, haven't lost someone, I think it's easier to say it doesn't matter if someone dies until it happens. Full stop. There's really not much to convince there. And I'm never going to convince a person who says let them die. Full stop.
Andrew, good day.
G'day, how you going?
Good.
First of all, look, I've been around the heroin, the ice, been all over the world seeing it, all the drugs. I'll give you the lowdown on it. Now, first of all, there was a guy, I think he was from overseas, Jakarta or somewhere, he'd done a three-hour... He was on the radio, I think the ABC, and he was coming over in 2014 to our AIDS conference. He died in that aeroplane crash. And he explained how in their country, they legalised drugs and testing. They got 96% success rate because they put all the resources into rehabilitating these people on the right track. The crime rate went down to 1%. They said there was no one going to rob, you know, your house, your car, to get money to buy it. The bashings and that, people didn't have to go and bash someone to get their money. And he said the Western world just doesn't get it. He said the crime rate, you know, police force, what we saved in money, you know, we rehabilitated all these people. Everyone, what I see, I've been around the ice and that, most of these ice people want to get off it. They don't want to be on it. Mm. And the problem is I've had this, the Victorian government, I approached them and they're trying to work out, you know, they wanted someone who knows, who's been there, done it and seen it all. And the problem with ice is, yeah, okay, the first time you have it, all your inhibitions, you got problems, they're all gone. So it is a one-time thing. But you stop. I was in a police station. The whole detective sergeant, they said, what is it with this? I said to them, what can we do? We tell people not, you know. I said, okay, this is how it is. Stop eating altogether. And they said, what do you mean? Just stop eating. And they couldn't understand. And I said, after a couple of days, you're going to, that addiction kicks in and, you know, if you eat, you get rid of the pain. Now, I couldn't even, people can't even go, you need something. When someone stops on ice, yeah, it's the easiest drug to give up. It's the easiest. You can stop, but after a couple of days, that pain and people say, what? And I said, well, imagine a flu, having the flu. Times it by 100, you're that weak and sore. And you know, if you just have that one hit, puff or whatever, you're going to be right. And the government have to try and make something for these people to get off to, whether it's like a Duramine and you can't even get it anymore. You know, I've had people ask me and, you know, they want to stop. Most of them want to stop. And, you know, there's just nothing. You got it all wrong. Just, you know, rehab, talking. And there's got to be something medically that we can do. Mm. A wonder drug that they all take. Because most people I know, like, this is what annoys me, is that I was anti-drug. Yeah, I used to hate it totally with a vengeance. And I've got kids and that. And then being around it and you know, seeing it all. Do you think these people really want to be the way they are?
Okay. Look, you've had a good say, and I got your point. He said there's got to be some sort of drug. That's what they did with heroin, with methadone. They replaced one drug with another.
Yeah, and methadone does work for a lot of people. There's something similar, but not identical in with ice, so they're trialing called dexamphetamine. So look, that kind of approach might work for some people. For heroin, some people in Europe are actually prescribed heroin. There's something that we're just missing here, Luke. And the issue is we're too focused on the drugs, whether it's pills or heroin or ice. When kids go to a festival and they're going to use ecstasy, a majority of these young people are not going to be addicted to that drug. They're going to try it. They're probably going to finish by the time they get into their 30s. Everyone complains about the kind of hangover that happens. You know, people get on with their lives. How can they do that, but someone who gets to, you know, smokes a joint ends up injecting heroin or using ice? The issue that we need to come to is, what is it that makes someone addicted to something? Is it the drug?
And what makes someone started in the first place? What makes someone put a needle in their arm?
Well,
I don't get that.
Yeah, and I think it's the same thing. And I think there's one thing that we're just missing in all of this, and it's people suffering with deep trauma. And often growing up in poverty, but more often than not, it's growing up having a traumatic experience as a childhood, not being able to move past that, and the drug is really kind of filling in there. So there's more to talk about there.
What makes someone start smoking? I mean, you're inhaling smoke into your lungs and blowing it out. It's not a very pleasant experience. You wouldn't have thought for the first inhalation of a cigarette. Look at that. People do it.
Well, but part of that, I think, is the same thing. I'll go back to that thing we started in the very beginning of the conversation, that if I have a hard day at work, I'm more likely to have another beer or two beers, or, you know, again, my drinking will move from something that is not something that's going to really harm me to something that might actually harm me. Why is that? Why is it there's some, and I'm talking about my real life. Like, there are some days when I'll go home the day was difficult. So getting pill testing up and doing a lot of this and talking to people and not feeling sometimes where I haven't been able to convince people of why that's important, or going up against the government or whatever it is. You know, those days I will drink an extra beer. Why is that? So let's explore that.
Glenn's in Bundaberg. G'day, Glenn.
Hey, Luke. Hey, Matt. How you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Look, I'm sorry. I'm one of the 40%ers, mate.
That's all right. That's all right.
So I disagree. Look, I've got a solution for you. At the end of this, I've got a solution, mm-hmm. right? I disagree on the fact that, you know, all you're doing is getting these drugs out of the music festivals. Now, unless you can track that drug and give me statistics to say that drug was put out of circulation, right, I understand where you're coming from. Like, it's a good idea. The reason I'm saying that is there wouldn't be many 18-year-olds out there that are on the dole that would have, you know, $40 or $60 worth of drugs in their pocket that get told that those drugs are no good, that just threw them away, okay? Mm. Now, I don't think their drug dealer's going to give them a refund, right? The chances are they're going to get rid of it to somebody else, okay? And there's going to be no pill testing, right? So that drug then could kill someone else, and it's away from your statistics, but that drug still killed.
Just tell me, why are you against pill testing?
Because of that reason. It does not fix a solution. If you want to save lives, you need to educate kids like we did with the Grim Reaper. You need to put, you know, a bit of graphic stuff on TV, but you need to educate these kids to keep a bit of that pill in their pocket. So if they do end up in hospital, the doctor can test that pill and save their life a hell of a lot quicker.
So I think totally agree on the education. We need to be doing that, but I disagree on that it needs to be fear. So with heroin, it wasn't the Grim Reaper that, you know, helped us move heroin.
That was AIDS.
That was about AIDS. You know, it goes back to things like injecting rooms and methadone and all that kind of stuff. A lot of what people say is giving up and all the rest of it. It isn't. It's actually dealing with a health issue. And not criminalizing people. I think that with pill testing, the way that I see it is about education, but it's about having a doctor in a tent. Not even someone like me who's just a health worker, but a doctor telling our kids why it's dangerous. Even if it is ecstasy, saying, mate, pure ecstasy can kill. But I'd rather a doctor be in a tent at a festival telling someone that, as opposed to just, you know, a scary ad, because that doesn't work. Say no to drugs has completely failed. I think surely most of us can agree with that.
All right. I've had people ring me and say the way to fix the drug problem, any drug problem, is serious, serious jail time for dealers. Serious jail time for people who manufacture drugs. Are we too soft on drug dealers?
Well, I think...
Should there be a mandatory sentence of 25 years?
Let's
will even say the death penalty.
Yeah.
The death penalty for...
No, well, so you go to the death penalty and we go back to the same problem we were at before. There are just some people who, believe that people shouldn't die for that reason. And there are other people who don't. A majority of Australians don't want to see a death penalty, all right? So there are going to be a minority of people who believe in that. Same thing, there's going to be a minority of people who don't believe in pill testing. And there's going to be very little we can persuade. But come back to what we were just talking about before. You know, how do you educate people? How do you do that? And you don't educate them by punishing them. We love punishing people in Australia. As soon as we got off the boat, 200 years ago, we were punishing ourselves, we're punishing the people who are already here. And what happened during that time? From the very beginning, we were addicted to alcohol. From the get-go.
It was currency.
Robert Hughes talks about it in The Fatal Shore. Every single one of us took the clothes off our back to get the rum. Okay? Get this. Flash forward now, hundreds of years later, the youngest generation of Australians drink less than any previous generation. They smoke less than any previous generation. They use less ecstasy than previous generations. So if you're going to tell me that all of those things haven't worked in terms of health, telling people the truth, being able to walk away from say no to drugs and just tell people how to manage that and deal with the trauma that they're going through, whether it's in an injecting room, whether it's a doctor in a tent saying we need be able to refer you to counselling outside of this, whether it's treatment programs, working side by side with police. You know the other great thing about pill testing, going back to dealers? They stop focusing on the kids who are experimenting. They're then allowed to focus on the dealers. It's strategic, and we absolutely should focus on dealers. No one's saying let that go. But, I guess we come back to this central point, Luke. You talked about it. Ice, alcohol, smoking, ecstasy, heroin. This youngest generation of Australians use less than any previous generation.
Matt, I'm going to let you go. You've got a big day today. There's a million people who want to talk to you. We'll get you back in.
Legend.
We'll also talk next time you come in about the regulation and decriminalisation of illicit drugs, which you're all for.
Well, let me say this. Regulation is really difficult. It's not just this broad thing. It shouldn't just be legalise all drugs. That'd be worse than what we currently have. Decriminalisation makes a lot of sense. It comes back to the idea we need to be focusing on the dealers. And I think it's good to. For those who disagree with me, I think it's really good. The debate about this is really good. It's how we foster a democracy. It's how we flourish. But I just want for those of you who disagree, I want to say this one thing. Just think about this. It is not simply a bad choice when someone ends up with a problem with a drug. It's not simply a bad choice. I know it's really hard to come to grips with, but it's the trauma they've grown up with. And yes, there are some of you who have had that and have been able to move on without drugs, and good on you. But for some of us, when the day's a little bit harder, we're going to smoke a cigarette. I smoked cigarettes when I was in my 20s, just not all the time, not chain smoking, just every now and then when I was feeling stressed. That's what a cigarette can do. An extra beer, I will still come home and have an extra beer if I've had a hard day at the office. For a child who's been abused, maybe by their parents or someone, exploited, sold as a sex worker, forced onto a drug like ice. If they're using ice by the time they're 12 or 13, okay, and we want to criminalize them for that, the reason why they're using that drug more than anything else has to do with trauma. And that story isn't uncommon with the kids that we see. To criminalize that person, forget about having a heart. It's just not going to help them. So all I'd say to those who disagree, for those who I can try and just convince you over the line, is I'm not asking you to have a bigger heart. I'm just asking you to think about it. It's the trauma that actually informs the addiction. And pill testing, All I'd say is it's better to have a doctor in a tent telling our kids it's better to listen to 25 years of evidence that it actually reduces our drug problem.
Matt Noffs is the CEO of the Noffs Foundation. Good to talk to you. Good to see your face.
Thanks for Led Zeppelin.
You and I, that's all right, I'm going to give you some cold chisel now. You and I may not always agree, but that's all right.
It's excellent, in fact.
And I'll talk to you soon. You take care.
Thanks, mate.
Matt Noffs.